As much as I might not like it, there are times when God intentionally leads me and you through times of having to wait. Is it not true? Ask Heather, I'm not that great at waiting. Hello? I mean, if I see there's traffic ahead on the highway, I'll take 14 side streets that may take longer to get to where we're going to not have to sit in traffic somewhere. Can anybody relate with me this morning? Yes. And the funny thing is, I'll do that in traffic, and if I'm not careful, I'll do that in life. Ooh. I will all of a sudden say, God, I'm not interested in this waiting stuff. I'm going to take about 14 side streets to get to where I think you want me to get. I'm going to go in my own way. Can anybody relate this morning? You know what I'm talking about. Yes. You see, God is the one who opens up doors of and seasons of waiting in our life. He is the one who, in fact, created the season. Did you know that seasons, as we know them today, did not exist before the flood? In fact, God tells us that he created the seasons, but it's not until after Noah comes out of the ark. Before that, life on planet Earth was very different, as we saw last week. And though there might have been days that were a little warmer or a little cooler, the seasons as we know them, with their extremes, did not exist before that time. God created them as part of this time in which we live on planet Earth. But not only has he created them for us in weather patterns, but he has created them as well in faith patterns in our life. And God will intentionally, assuredly, bring us through seasons where we're required to wait. So I think it kind of looks like this if we were to think in terms of a continuum. And I think this is true for life in general. It's true in faith. It's true also in smaller events in our life. Let's do this. You see, life works with a sequence like this. There's a vision for something to happen. So you and I get a hope, an idea, a dream, and we begin praying, and we believe it. Maybe it's from the Lord, hopefully. We want to have a promise, a vision that comes from the Lord. And that comes to us, and we get very excited about it. I like the vision season because you get excited about what could be. And you're thinking about all these exciting things about your life personally, maybe your family, your job, your future generations. God gives you, plants in you a vision. But here's what must follow after that is a time of release. When God puts a seed in your hand, it has to fall from your hand. That could be tough. This means God will give you a vision for something, and when that happens, you will hold it in your hand and think, God, thank you so much. This is awesome what you're promising me. You're going to restore my family. You're going to break generational strongholds. You're going to do a new thing in me. This is awesome. You're going to raise up my children to trust you and follow you. You're going to heal me. You're going to restore my finances. You're going to do a work in me. This is awesome. And God says, now, that thing I just put in your hand, I want you to let it go. What? I just got it from you. Yes. But in order for me to do something with it, you've got to release it from your hand and let it fall down into the soil. And then you got to cover it over and let me take it from there. This is the hardest part for us. We don't like letting go of it. We don't like not being able to see it. We don't like not being able to do something about it. We don't like not being able to control it. Hello? Are we hitting close to home this morning for all of us? I get a vision from God, and all of a sudden, I want to make it all come to pass in my own strength, in my own way, in my own time, under my control. And God says, that's not the way this thing works. I'm going to give you a vision. You're going to have to release it. And then I'm going to give you some work to do. And you're gonna get to work it, but you're gonna work it the way I tell you to work it. And you're gonna give yourself completely to it. And then is gonna come a season that, ooh, it's that season of waiting. I planted the seed, I got it from you, I covered it over, I watered it, and I'm praying. Nothing's happening. I'm getting nervous. I'm getting anxious. I'm going to have to go do something about this because I can't stand the fact that I can't see it. I can't see the results yet. Oh, wait a minute. Something's happening. How much longer? I want to see fruit. Oh, it takes a while to get from seed to sprout, to plant, to growth, to fruit. And depending upon the fruit, it can take a long time. And this is the season of waiting. There'll be a day of reveal, a day where you'll get to see it come to pass. But that season does not come by our choosing and our timing. When Noah was given a promise from God, it was a vision. He had to release it to the Lord and say, God, in your timing, in your strength. And then he began the work of building the ark, faithful. 75, 80, 100 years working, just working, giving himself to it continually, despite the odds, despite the rejection, despite all the mockery from people. He faithfully worked. Where we are today in the story, in fact, we're near the end of our Noah series. Can you believe we have this week and next week, and we're done with Noah? Something else exciting coming, though. But Noah, in our story, is going to get on the ark. And when he gets on the ark, he does not have a timetable for how long he will be on it. There will be 40 days and 40 nights of rain, but that was not all there was. There was a much longer time frame, and Noah enters it to wait. So today, our message from the story of Noah is this: 7 blessings of waiting on God in your ark. Because every one of us this morning, I'm believing you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. You've entered into him. And God will bring you into seasons where you must get into the promise that he's made. And then you have to wait in that season for the promise to come to pass. The ark was not the promise. The promise from God to Noah was, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save your family. And then I'm going to restore all things through you. But you're going to have to wait and trust and wait on me in the ark. Can anybody relate this morning? We have entered into places in our life that God has brought us to. And we're going to see how Noah responded. Genesis chapter 7 is where we begin today. We're going to follow what has happened up to this point and get into the story of Noah here. You see, we're going to dive into this season here of waiting specifically. I love all these other seasons. Those are great. Those are awesome. But there is, within the season of waiting, some other seasons. Season inception, if you will. Where there's seasons within a season that you and I must understand if we want to see the ways of God come to pass in our life. We know that at this point, Noah was given the calling to build the ark. And he has done so faithfully, wisely, against all the resistance, against all the odds. Him and his sons, they've built this box. And they have been faithful to the task against all the mockery and the rejection of their day, against all of the preaching he did about the judgment of God coming, about all the preaching of righteousness and repent. He was rejected by men, but he found favor with the Lord because he was obedient to the task that was in front of him. And so today, we pick up the story of Noah, looking for the pattern of how Noah dealt with the waiting. Because this first part here is awesome. I love this part, this vision, this work. You begin with this real sense of purpose. All right, let's go. Let's get to the work. In fact, without this purpose nailed down in your heart, you won't be able to pass through these seasons right here. Because what we're doing is waiting on the Lord and not just waiting. And here, we understand this. Ladies, if you've ever given birth before, you know there's a process to this whole pregnancy. There's the beginning of vision and excitement. Then there's the season of growth. Then there's some pains that come along. Then there's some awkwardness and some difficulty. And then there's labor. And the only way you make it through any of that is by keeping in mind there's a baby coming. There's a baby coming. There's a life coming. God, you've given me this life. And that becomes your driving force. If you've ever had a goal in your life you've set to accomplish, maybe you wanted to lose 20 pounds. Maybe you wanted to pay off some debt. Maybe you wanted to see some improvements in your job. You set out and you had a goal. Maybe it's for reconciliation in your life somewhere with a person that's close to you. Maybe it's a goal to know God's word. You had to start with a goal, with a vision, with a purpose in mind. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11 is where we start today. This whole passage is just fascinating to me. Here we go, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, I'll remind you, this is not fairy tale. This is real. Noah was 600 years old. The earth was very different in that day, as we saw last week, and men and women lived hundreds of years. In the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened up. I've highlighted 17th day. Just, if you're taking notes, just write down the number 17. This is going to become very important today. This all happens on the 17th day of the second month. On that day, Noah was secure with his family inside the ark. The fountains of the deep broke up, opened up, and the sky opened up as well. And the waters covered the earth. 17 is a fascinating number. 17 is a combo of 10 and 7. 10 throughout the scripture is the number of order. 7 is the number of perfection. 17 appears in other places in the Bible. Joseph was 17 when he was sold into slavery. Jacob, his dad, is reunited with him, and they live in Egypt for 17 years. Just a couple of references to 17. Let's move on. Let's get down to verse 16. It says, so those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. God closed the door. There was a season for hearing the vision about the ark and the promise afterwards. There was a season for building the ark, but then came the season of entering into the ark. And when he entered into the ark, God closed the door and God shut him in. This is encouraging as it should be for us, because here's our first blessing today of waiting on the Lord. Number one is this. You will have the confidence that God controls the season you're in of waiting. God closed the door and put Noah in there. And when God closes it, it's not for you to open. And when God brings us into seasons of waiting, he will close the door on all other options, and you have in that moment the one responsibility of waiting on the Lord. I love the fact that the ark was not motorized. There was no machine that drove it. Noah and his family weren't told to get oars and make it go. They were to get in. God was going to close the door, and then God was going to take over in that moment. And the only thing Noah could do was wait on the Lord. Noah, listen to me, had done nothing wrong to be put into a season of waiting. It's important for us to know that. Because I think sometimes there's a built-in part of us that wants to punish ourselves because we're all of a sudden in a season of waiting. Oh, I must have messed something up. God must be against me. God must be trying to hurt me. No, no, no. There are times that God disciplines, but listen, if you're trusting in the Lord, if you're walking in obedience to the Lord, He will still bring you through times of waiting. And it's not necessarily your fault. It was God's plan. It was not because Noah had little faith. It was not because Noah had messed up. It was not because Noah had sinned. In fact, if there was any reason, it was because everybody else had messed up on planet Earth. And Noah was going through a season of waiting. And God is the one who controls it. And this is where you and I can take great faith. If God closes the door of activity in your life and it's time to wait, you can rest in that. Lord, you brought this about. Lord, you are with me. Lord, you are doing something bigger than what I fully even understand today. Amen? That is a blessing. You don't have to punish yourself. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to be overly critical. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to doubt. When God closes the door and it's time to wait, it's time for you and me to trust. Back to the passage, verse 17. And it says, now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. Wow, I love that. The very thing that was causing death and destruction on the earth was what God was using to lift Noah and his family up above all of it. They entered into the place of safety. The ark is a picture of Jesus for us. I enter into who Christ is and who he says I am, and I wait on him there, and he will raise me up above all of the death and destruction around me. I don't have to go about complaining because I'm in a season of waiting. I don't have to whine because I'm in a season of waiting. I don't have to be angry because I'm in a season of waiting. I don't have to be bitter because I'm in a season of waiting. I don't have to see myself as a victim because I'm in a season of waiting, because I can trust that God brought me into a season of waiting. And when it happens, it actually does something in me. It causes me to get stronger. It causes me to get wiser. It causes me to become more confident. It causes me to rise up above all the other stuff that are causing other people to cave in. And something powerful happens in me. I rise up in confidence and power. And Isaiah says, those who do this, those who wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they won't faint. Amen? This is what happens to us when we wait on the Lord. Verse 18, the waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. Woo. They're in for a ride. The waters have covered the earth. They are deep, deep. They are over the mountains. And the water covers all of it. Destruction is below. And where is Noah and his family? They are safe on the ark above all the waters. See, it's the time God is using to strengthen you, build your faith, and you are here without any ability to control what's happening. The water, as this verse says, is causing the ark to be moved about. God is carrying them. God is moving. God is shifting. And they have no control. Years ago, I was at a playground with Taylor and Truett, and we were playing. It's one of these wooden fort-type parks, and I thought it would be fun for us to play chase. I was going to try to capture them, and they're running all around. They're young, and I'm not. And so I find them kind of on this piece that's separated from where I am. There's probably a good 6 feet or so between me and the platform where Taylor's standing. And she looked at me, and it was as though she could read what was happening in my mind. I'm going to jump across here and get you. And as I was preparing, she was saying, "No, Daddy, don't do that." Which means, I'm going to do it. And so I jumped and I landed and went, I just melted. I could not even stand again after that. The way back to the van was like this. And I'm trying to drive home with this just throbbing ankle. I'm thinking, oh, I done broke this thing. This is miserable. I did not break it. But I went to a doctor, and they suggest I wear this big boot thing and I not put any weight on it. And so, you know, it's crutches and the whole deal that goes with all of that. Can you relate, Tina? Yeah. So the office I had at the time was on the second floor at this place in Midlothian. I knew the guy who owned it was allowing us to be there. And so I went there one day and I said, I need to get some things from my office. I said, I'm just going to sit down and scoot myself up the stairs. I'll be fine. He said, no. He had a friend with me. He said, we're going to carry you up those stairs. Like, no, please don't do that. I'll be fine. And so I just tried to make my way over to these stairs. These are not wide stairs. This is like, it's like residential style stairs. You know, they're out this wide and there's rails and they insist. And pretty soon, zoop, I'm up. And they start moving up these stairs, carrying me. It's awkward enough to be carried when you're 40 plus by two guys who are 40 plus. We may have even been 50 plus at the time. I'm terrified at this moment. We're going up these stairs. There's three of us now going up these residential stairs. I'm terrified that they're going to drop me, and it's awkward, and it's weird, and it's the most unusual feeling to not be in control, to have someone else carrying you, especially through something as precarious as going upstairs. We made it. And I assured them, I will get down these stairs alone. But it was the most awkward feeling of having no control of my situation. And I think, God, I do that so often with you. You put me in situations where I must trust you. And I want to fight against you. I don't want to be carried by you. I want to do it my way. And I'll do it without you. And here was Noah and his family in a situation where they're being carried about by the waters, which brings us to our second point. This is the blessing. If you're truly waiting on the Lord, it's this. You will freely give over control of the situation to God. This is the blessing of waiting on the Lord. You trust him. It's so tempting in situations of waiting to want to take control, to want to force the end to come, to bring about the results in a way that we want. And God says, I brought you into this season so you'll take your hands off. I brought you into this season because I'm going to do something in you. I brought you into this season because I'm trying to do something around you as well. And I need you to fully trust me. Bible says in verse 24 of Genesis 7 that the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. So that's about 5 months. The rain has finally stopped after 40 days, nights, but the movement hasn't. There's no word from heaven at this point. There's no way to see what's going on. There were no windows in the side. This is not a cruise ship. There's no carnival slides and fun activities and sunning, tanning deck. There's none of that out there. He's inside. He can't see, can't control. And there's no way to know how much longer this is going to be. There's nothing in the scripture that tells us that God told him how long they would be on the ark. But we know that Noah is trusting God, even 5 months in. Which brings us to our number three blessing today, and it's this. You will become stronger in the dark because of what you heard in the light when you are waiting on the Lord. It can be and it will be dark in your ark. It can be and it will be one of those moments where you have no control over anything that's happening. You will be moved about by the waters because God is now the one in charge of your life. And it's healthy and it's right and it's good to release the control and let God do his work around you and in you. I heard someone tell me that one day, and like some truths, when you first hear them, you don't get it and it kind of upsets you a little bit. But you find later, they were right. And it was this: never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. It's very similar to this, but it's so important. If God speaks to you clearly, when you are in fellowship with him, when you are seeking him, whatever he tells you in that moment, remember it. Write it down. Because there's a season of waiting coming where you're going to need to remember what you heard in the light. Because now you're in the dark. And that promise that was true then is still true now. In fact, it was given to you in the light so that you'd remember it when you got in the dark. So never doubt when you're in your darkness what God told you in the light. Because it is here that great strength comes up. It is here that you actually become stronger. It is here that your actions become much more decisive. It is here that your prayer becomes more passionate. It's here that your faith becomes deeper. It's here that your worship becomes more passionate, because here the enemy wants to take advantage of you, but it's here that you're actually going to get stronger. It's here that you're going to trust more than you ever have before. It's here that your character is being shaped. It's here that your integrity is becoming locked down. It's here that you're trusting in God in ways you never have before, so that when you come out of it, you say, what the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good, and look out, enemy, I'm stronger than I've ever been because I've been through a season of waiting. Amen? This is what he's doing when you're going through your season of waiting. It's here that he's developing strength within you. Back to Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. You might think, why are you hopping around? Well, I'm going through the passage. We have a limited amount of time this morning. Amen? I'm not saying those other verses are not important. I'm condensing a little bit for time's sake, keeping the highlights, the important pieces that we need this morning. Verse 1, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. God is faithful. He never forgets his children. He never forgets a promise. He never forgets the work he's doing in you. And he will bring to pass in time what he has begun in you. And it says, at the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Whew, 5 months of uncertainty. And now the waters begin to subside. Oh, it's a different ride now. We're going down. We're settling. There's going to come a moment where we will rest. But the waters begin to subside. Verse 4. It says, then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day, what? What day? 17th day of the month? Scripture has no coincidences to it. If it said it began on the 17th and it ends on the 17th, there must be something to the 17th. Amen? This is the seventh month on the 17th day of the month, and it comes to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The ark comes to rest. The ark settles. The ark begins a new chapter in the chapter of Noah, in the chapter of God's promises here. 17th, interesting. The seventh month, according to the Hebrew calendar, is the month of Nisan. And on the 17th day of the month of Nisan, the ark comes to rest. Did you know that this is not the only time that the 17th is mentioned? It's not the only time that the 17th of Nisan is mentioned. I hope you're taking notes. This is about to get good. Let me tell you some other things that happen on the 17th day of Nisan in the Bible. The day that the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, guess what day it was? The 17th day of Nisan. The day that the manna ceased and the children of Israel ate in the promised land and the feast of first fruits began. Guess what day that was on? The 17th day of Nisan. Now this is getting freaky all of a sudden. No coincidences. There's a purpose and there's a plan. In fact, you will read in Exodus chapter 12 that God is actually going to change their calendar and take what was the seventh month and make it the first month of the year. And guess what month that is? The month of Nisan. God is going to say, I know this was your seventh month. I know you're in the middle of a season of trouble, but now I'm doing a new thing in you, and I'm going to take that month, and I'm going to call it the beginning of the year for you. You see, when God begins to do a new work, he starts a new purpose and a new plan, and he has it happen at a very specific time, and he wants us to see his hand as being more prevalent, prominent, and important than our plans. This becomes the day of new beginnings. It's a theme that runs throughout the Bible. Queen Esther won a victory and saved the lives of the Jews. Guess what day it happened on? The 17th of Nisan. God does new things in our lives, and he has a purpose, and he has a season, and he has a plan in which he works it. If all of that wasn't weird enough, you turn to the New Testament. You follow the story of Jesus, his birth, his life, his arrest, his beatings, his crucifixion, being placed in the grave, until a day when the stone rolls away and they come to the tomb to see if he is there. Guess what day it is when they find he is not here, he is risen? It's the 17th day of Nisan. Can you believe that? God has arranged all things together. He is the one working all things together. And he has a purpose, and he will bring new beginnings into your life if you will wait on him. All of those were dates that required waiting on the Lord. Five events, all significant events, happened on the same calendar day. Do you know what the odds are of those events happening on the same calendar day? ChatGPT tells me that the odds are 1 in 200 million that those would happen on the same day. There is no chance, random chance with God. There is intentionality. And your waiting today is not a day where your life has been put on pause. It is not a day when God has left you. It is not a day when he has turned against you. It is a day of waiting because he's preparing you for something greater that he has for you. And this is how you wait on the Lord. You don't look at this time as his rejection of you. You look at this time as his preparation for you. This is what God was doing with Noah. Oh, Noah, this is not a period of you being in trouble. This is a period of me preparing you and preparing all of this for what's coming up next. Amen? Point number four this morning, when you wait on the Lord, here's your blessing. You'll see waiting as God preparing you, not God departing from you. Boy, that's so important. When a woman is pregnant, God is preparing a life in her and a life for her. When you put a seed in the ground, God is preparing life in it and through it. When you are waiting on the Lord, he is preparing you. When you're not seeing activity and you're in the waiting, he's preparing you. When you're in the grind and you're in the work and you're still waiting and you're not seeing results yet, he's preparing you. And when you're praying and holding to a promise and believing God's gonna bring it to pass, in that moment, he's preparing you. And this is where you will find your greatest confidence is when you are waiting on him in that moment. Boy, it's so easy to get trapped up inside complaining, to get trapped inside, woe is me, I'm just a failure. And yet here God is using this time, all of this time, to prepare Noah for a day to come. Now, as awesome as this all is, the wait is not over. The ark has settled. It's a day of new beginnings, but it's not over yet. And this is where you and I, we gain our confidence. Lord, what you said will come true, and I will trust you in the process. Back to our passage, verse 5. It says, in the 10th month, so time is ticking away, on the first day of the month, we're 10 months in. It's been a while. They still have not exited the ark yet. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. You see, at this time, water is still covering much of the earth. They've come to rest at a place, Mount Ararat. And the Bible says that in the one window that Noah had at the top, he could see out a little. He didn't have much perspective. But as he looked out, he saw something, listen to me, that he had never seen before. As we talked about last week, there were no mountains up to this point like we know of mountains today. In the pre-flood world, there were hills, but it is the flood and the seismic shift of the plates on earth that produce a movement, that produce a swelling, that produce mountains, that produce canyons. There was no Grand Canyon before the flood. There was no K2. There was no Mount Everest. There was no Kilimanjaro. But on this day, on the 10th month, on the first day, they all of a sudden see mountaintops. They see something that they haven't seen before. And they see it off in the distance, and they see it through the water. And they think, what is that? I've never seen that before. But what is happening is God is showing them some glories of what will be, even though they've never seen them before. Truth number five for us today is this. God will give you glimpses of the greatness that's to come when you are waiting on him. He'll show you things. You'll be looking at your life and you'll see movement happening. You'll see changes. You'll see changes in people's hearts. You'll see relationships beginning to reconcile. You'll see God working in your life. You'll see God working in your spouse. You'll see God working in your children. And if you have eyes of faith to see, you will see that as God's hand moving. But if you don't have eyes of faith, if you're not waiting on the Lord, you won't be looking at it that way. Oh, the same thing will be occurring. Can you imagine if Noah had looked out and he looks out at this vast body of water covering the earth and here are these things now protruding up out of the water that he's never seen before. Can you imagine if he didn't have faith, if he wasn't trusting God, he could have had all kind of thoughts about what he was seeing. It's giant sharks. It's shark week on the ark. He could have looked out and said, it's monsters. It's the Nephilim. They're still here. Satan is after us. We're going to be destroyed. What are those? You would have known if you had eyes of faith and you said, God, what an amazing thing you're doing. I don't even quite know what that is. I just know that you created it. I know that you're working here, and I'll trust you in it. When you're waiting on the Lord, you'll look ahead in your life, and you look at the circumstances of your life, and you'll see God moving. And you won't be complaining, and you won't be terrified, you won't be angered, you won't be bitter. You'll see God moving in your life. This is the beauty and the power of waiting on the Lord. Back to our passage, verse 6. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days, that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. Now, there's a whole deep dive we could do in this next section. I'm not today. In this moment, it tells us in verse 7 and 8 that Noah sent out a raven, and then he sent out a dove. A raven is a scavenger, an unclean bird, according to the Bible. The dove is a clean bird and a symbol of peace, symbol of the Holy Spirit. And here in these verses, Noah is sending out a raven to see if the raven is going to feast on carcasses. And he's going to send out the dove to see if the dove will come back and bring with him any kind of indication of life. And he will. That dove, after a couple different trips, will come back and bring with him the leaves of an olive tree, symbolizing to Noah, there's life out there. This is all to me a beautiful picture of the power of when you're in a moment and you're having to wait on the Lord and you send up prayers. Lord, is this the time? Is this the moment? Is it time for me to leave my season of waiting? Is this a time when it's safe now to come out? Are you doing your work? And it's as though we're sending out prayers like Noah sent out the raven and the dove. Because here's what God will do for you when you're waiting on him. He will do this. He will give you discernment and wisdom. This is our number 6 today. You see, those birds became wisdom to Noah. Those birds became insight to Noah. Ah, it's time now to move in obedience. Ah, now it's time. The Lord is bringing his will to pass. This is the beauty of waiting on the Lord. He'll give you insight. He'll give you discernment. He'll give you wisdom when you pray and seek him. Verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. Whew. The day had finally come. The day they had waited for and longed for. The day of promise that God had given to Noah and his family. Now, the water had dried up, and now it would be time to exit. Now would be the time of new things. Now would be the time of great joy. Because the promise had been fulfilled and the greatest work would now be done. 13 continues, says, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, And indeed, the surface of the ground was dry. Our last blessing of waiting on the Lord is this: you will see the vision and promise come to pass. What God has promised, He will always bring to pass. It may not happen in the first week. It may not happen in the first year. It may not happen over decades. It will not happen the way you thought. It most likely will not happen in the time frame that you thought. But if God promised it, it will come to pass. It may be in eternity, but it will come to pass. It might be in the latter years of your life, but it will come to pass, because God always keeps His promises to His people. Now, I would offer one condition, and it's one that the Scripture says from the New Testament. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You can't passively sit by and expect, well, it's just going to happen. You can't ignore God and think it's just going to happen. You can't be walking in disobedience and think, well, it's just going to happen anyway. You can't be lazy in prayer. You can't be lazy in worshiping. You can't be lazy in seeking. You can't be lazy in being diligent to believe the promise and expect that it will come to pass. But if you are diligent and faithful and confident and seeking Him and fasting and obeying and being faithful to seek Him, if you're not losing heart, if you're not giving up, if you're holding to a promise, He will bring it to pass. I don't care what promise it is, what vision it is. If He promised it, He will bring it to pass. And for that reason, you and I ought to be desperate to know the promises of God. You and I ought to be desperate to grab a hold of them and refuse to let go of them. And this is true whether or not it's provision for you, if it's a job for you, if it's money that you need, if it's healing that you need, if it's restoration you need in your family, if it's reconciliation of a relationship, if it's a family member who's turned away from the Lord, if it's a family member who's never turned to the Lord, if it's a situation in your life where you say, God, I need You to work in my life. Do You hear me? And He says, yes, I hear You, because You're my child. And if you're asking according to My will, I will bring it to pass. And for that, I rest. I'm secure. I have purpose. I gain my strength. I get confidence because I know my day of joy is coming. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Is God good to keep His promises to us? Will He be faithful to you in whatever you've entrusted to Him? Yes. Let us believe this with great confidence this morning. Let's pray. Father, I know in this room right now, there are places of hurt, places in need of healing, places in need of restoration and reconciliation. God, I thank You that You are the God of the promise. You're the God who is faithful. And what You have begun in us, You will be faithful to complete. So I pray this morning for faith to rise up for every person in this room this morning. Greater faith to trust You. Greater faith to know that a day of new beginnings has come for them. A day and a time in which You will be faithful to them. And I pray that in this moment, we will be faithful. We will not yield. We will not deny. We will not turn away. We will not stop seeking, because if we have kept Your word and Your faithful promises to us, You will bring it to pass. So God, I pray that would happen here this morning. I pray even this week for prayers and promises that have been lifted up to You. God, would You cause those to be fulfilled even this week, just as testimony of Your faithfulness, so that this place might be filled with stories of glory about You, about Your power to bring things to pass? Father, in doing so, we will surrender our hand from the matter. We will not manipulate, control, or trying to bring it about in our own strength. We will do as Noah, enter into the ark, allow you to close the door, and we will wait on you, knowing you will bring that new day to pass. All this we ask in the confident and strong and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.